Bristol, For the Record, a new local oral history podcast from BCFM Radio in partnership with MShed Bristol and funded by the National Lottery Heritage Fund.
So if you could start by telling us your name and how old you are.
Willow, 17.
And when and where were you born?
Southmead Hospital in 2005.
If you could tell me a bit about your childhood, whereabouts in Bristol did you grow up?
Well, I read various places. I think until I was 5 or 6, I lived in Bitton, which is East Bristol / South Gloucestershire. Then for about 2 years, I moved to Stoke-on-Trent. And then after that, I moved back to Bristol. I lived for, I think, about a year in Whitchurch. And then since then, I've lived in Hartcliffe. And the question is, tell me about your childhood. And it was quite convoluted. My parents divorced when I was 7, and that's when we moved back to Bristol. And since then, we've kind of been, I've lived in quite like decent poverty or poorness generally. And in terms of hobbies, I've kind of always been interested in kind of public transport and history, and more recently politics as well.
What are some of your earliest memories?
I remember when I lived in East Bristol before I was 6, I remember David Cameron becoming Prime Minister. I remember going on, there was a steam railway by my house, the Avon Valley Railway, and I remember going on that quite a lot and walking there every day. There was a garden centre by my house, I remember going there. At that time, it was quite a middle-class upbringing, I guess. Not much since, but yeah, it was an all-right childhood, I guess.
In terms of Bristol as a city, what's it like to grow up in?
I quite like it. The city as a whole is quite progressive. There is decently funded social programmes, although it's quite big and there's a lot of them, so it's quite hard to... Less like social programmes, more like the culture is quite progressive and quite inclusive, I guess. And there's generally stuff going on in certain parts of the city. Like protests are quite good to go to, and there's festivals at various points in the year and stuff like that.
Have you got any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I've got a brother and a sister.
They're both younger, you said. Okay. What was it like growing up with them in the house?
Well, I've lived in various houses. Only my brother was born in the first house. And then my sister was born in Stoke-on-Trent. And then we moved back down to Bristol, where I lived for a year with my grandparents in a very small house. So there would have been me and my two siblings, plus my mum, plus my two grandparents in, like, I think it's a 3-bed bungalow, which was very tight. And that we lived there for about 10 months, I think, because we literally had nowhere else to go because we were struggling to find anywhere, any house to rent. Because of our financial situation after my parents had divorced. And so that was quite squeezed and wasn't very nice. Like, my grandparents aren't very nice people, per se, to my mum. And it was quite stressful because we were all, like, quite crammed in and there wasn't much space for that time. And then since then, we lived in a slightly bigger house, just the 4 of us, where there's more space and we kind of have our own rooms to an extent, although it means my mum has to sleep in a living room. And it's a very nice house and... We've quite easily trashed it. Like, it's not very hygienic or, that sounds bad, or like clean. Like, the walls are covered, and that's kind of what we've inherited. It's quite a bad house, but it's been like quite stress inducing, how the kind of crammedness of it, and it's just not a very, you know, like, conditions make you more or less stressed. And we kind of grown apart as siblings over the years, because we've just become different people, which can be kind of stressful. You have to share stuff with them and you have to live in the same place when you have very different wants and needs, etc. And kind of as the oldest child in a single parent family, I've had to kind of be another parent in a way, which has been not awful, but it's what it is. And yeah, that's kind of different relationship with my siblings. I think I've kind of gone from the question at this point, kind of what I've got to say, I guess.
Right, your parents, what do they do for a living?
I haven't known my dad for several years, but my mum runs a not-for-profit theatre company, or co-runs it, and that's pretty much her source of income.
What's your relationship like with your mum? Is it good or not so?
I mean, we're similar people in that we have similar political views and we've kind of been influenced by one another. And I'd say it's generally quite a positive relationship. Like, she's been quite supporting of me throughout my life and been supporting of whatever I want to do or whatever. And that's good. Like, I've kind of had to go to her work quite a lot and help her with that. And that's been an interesting experience. Like, it kind of exposes you to a kind of different side of the world. Even though I'm not necessarily interested in what her work is, it's vaguely still it's more interesting than an office job. So that's been quite influential, I guess. Relationship with my dad has been totally awful and he was horrible and we've left him for good reason.
And then in terms of school, what do you like about school? Any subjects that you're particularly keen on?
Yeah, I really liked history and RE and geography and to an extent English. The rest I didn't really like. Like I specifically hated PE, math, science, etc.
Who were some of your favourite teachers at school?
Probably my all-round favourite was my RE teacher, who was a very nice woman. And it was quite a small class and everyone there kind of chose to do RE because they were quite passionate about the subject. And she was really nice and she ran like an equalities group in school and she was a massive kind of advocate for helping students. Another one was my geography teacher, who was really supportive with me, like particularly with my home life. She like listened to me and stuff like that. In terms of primary school, I had like quite a few. I went to three primary schools, but my third one had, I think my year six teacher was quite good. He very much understood my home life and tried to help me. So I've had a few good teachers that have really helped me. And then I guess the vast majority are kind of quite neutral. And then there's some who are just actively regressive, as with everything, I guess.
Who are some of your heroes or role models as you were growing up?
My main one was my mum, because she was she's pretty much the only parent I had, and she'd overcome a lot of adversity. Like, she was literally a single mother who didn't have a house, who had three kids, and for like I think for 1-2 month period she didn't have access to her money at all, and she's just overcome so much adversity, and I really respect her for that. She's the pretty much the only kind of in-person role model I've had in terms of life. I can't really think of any others, because I feel like everyone you don't know has a flaw. And she has many flaws, but, you know, she's considering how much adversity she's overcome, I think that's she's a great person.
Are there any sort of famous role models you have? Maybe anybody in a certain line of work who's inspired you or influenced your feelings towards any particular movement? Or
Absolutely. Not many that are alive. I would have to say, you know, pretty much any communist leader. Marx, Engels, Lenin, Luxembourg, Tony Benn. I mean, he's not really a communist, but, you know, he's a guy. Jeremy Corbyn, he's been quite influential. I mean, I can really just list any single communist leader, Che Guevara, etc. That's less influential in life. Pretty much all my heroes are political leaders, because that's kind of the person I am. I'm quite political, so, yeah.
What was it about those leaders that inspired you and helped to shape your political viewings?
Well, I've come from, I think, quite a disadvantaged background socioeconomically, and, you know, it was something about, like, I read Marx, and it just, like, everything clicked for me. It was like the world made sense, like kind of understanding dialectical materialism in a way, like the fact that all significant political events are based off of ultimately conditions of people's life conditions, and the idea of a conflict between the ruling and working classes. That just made like life click for me. Like, I'd kind of been raised in a way a Catholic, but I'd never really believed it. And then I'd kind of read this and I was like, oh my God, the world makes sense. And to me, it kind of felt like a awakening. And then kind of later on, just kind of studying the amount of liberation that has happened, you know, in Soviet Union, in Cuba, etc. And that just kind of inspired me, like, how different it is to today's society. Just even, and, you know, someone with a disadvantaged background, like, something I really would like, that everyone is treated evenly and was quite successfully despite its shortcomings, compared to today's society where people are just totally neglected. And I think my socioeconomic status has hugely influenced that, because I don't think I'd have these same views if I came from a comfortable background, because I know people like that and they generally don't. And my mum has really helped that as well, because she's generally been quite a militant socialist as well, and she's totally inspired me to stand up to the system and shout out for its failures.
In terms of the future, what are your sort of dreams and ambitions for yourself? Any sort of line of work you'd like to go into? Or
I mean, I'd love to be a quote-unquote politician, although, as you probably have heard, I've got quite radical political views, which makes me not very friendly to any major party. But I'd love to be a politician or a political leader or an activist who can change the world or has influence to change the world. Someone like Tony Benn, I guess, is probably the closest reflection of what is possible within the British system. A guy who speaks for what I pretty much consider to be the truth all the time and is considered radical but is listened to. Something like that. I'd love to be like an MP or a councillor. And I think I'm the, you know, I hope I would one day be accepted by the major parties or the Labour Party to be one of them. If not, I mean, that's pretty much my main desire. But other than that, I mean, I could become a teacher or in academia. I like to travel the world and see different countries and stuff. But in terms of jobs, that's kind of the really only one that I've always wanted to do. And I really hope I can get into it. Otherwise, I feel like I'm just going to be quite poor and not necessarily have a job I want. But hopefully that's possible.
What are some of your hopes for the future of Bristol as a city and also the world more widely?
Well, Bristol as a city, I think, made this very clear that the current administration is totally failed to address anyone's needs. The area I live in, Hartcliffe, is no money going into it at all. It's derelict. There's no heart to it at all. It's just, they've just crammed the working class into one area and forgotten about them. Whereas the mayor is preaching, you know, one city policy and how much good he's doing. And he's never been to where I live, clearly, because there's nothing there. And they just seem to be redeveloping areas for middle class people. They seem to be gentrifying areas and pushing working class people even further out into the suburbs. And that has just really annoyed me in how just blatantly classist it is and how ignorant it is. And how there are literally homeless people outside the city council building, and yet they do nothing about it, and they've seemed to just prioritise getting millionaire commuters here from London. That makes me really angry. For Bristol as a city, I'd like to see everyone housed. I'd like to see Bristol have council housing to rival the country. I think it already does, but still, my family are on a waiting list for a council house, and we have been for quite a few years, and it's unlikely we'll get one anytime soon, like not at least for 2-3 years, probably more longer than that, because there's just a total lack of council housing. Even though they're building more, it's still not sufficient, and there needs to be sufficient council housing for everyone to be housed. And yeah, for Bristol as a city, I would like to see there obviously be a less class divide, because there is a massive one, not only between like the ultra rich in Clifton and the poor in Hartcliffe, but even in like kind of quote unquote middle areas like Bedminster. They still get so much more than Hartcliffe, even though it's like 10 minutes away. There's just, you know, there's actually commercial shops in Hartcliffe. There's pretty much none, and there's just so much culture going on, and in Hartcliffe there's none, because it just seems to be ignored for society as a whole. I'd love for there to be a revolution and for us to overthrow the pigs, but I realize that's unrealistic, but I live in hope. But we need a system that gives people the basic needs, their basic needs, housing, food, a job. And there needs to be subsidised housing and subsidised consumer goods, such as, you know, like only pinning rent to be like 2% of your income or something, which was the case in many aforementioned socialist countries, or is the case. And some of that, and guaranteed employment and the running of the economy for the collective good to benefit the people rather than a few. We need to get rid of the ruling class. Generally speaking, capping cap money overall at, I know, a couple hundred K, prevent income of multiple property, ownership of multiple properties, or limit it to 2 for need like that, and so forth. And that's only what I want to see for the world, but it's quite ambitious and it's quite unrealistic. But it's been done before, and I hope it's done again.
So you're obviously involved in the Bristol City Youth Council. How did you get involved with them?
It was like earlier this year. No, it wasn't last year. It was like November or December. There was a call out or an email or something that was, the Bristol City Council needs members. Because generally the way it works is every 2 years there's an election. But I was just elected this year and the election's next year, because some other people had left or something. So I kind of saw that and said, I kind of have to go on it. I kind of knew it existed, but I hadn't really looked into being on it before, even though I'd have really loved to. But I didn't go to school in Bristol, so it wasn't really publicised that much. So what was I going to say? Yeah, so I got involved that way, and yeah, that's it. That's kind of all you asked.
Have you got any sort of memorable moments from your time in the council?
Yeah, we went on a residential in about 2 months ago, and that was really good. It was quite fun, and we did a lot of activities as a group, and it was kind of the first residential where I'd kind of actually had fun and made friends, because I'd been on many, many previous and they weren't fun. So yeah, that's very memorable. That was in February, significant. Another thing about the last question I just remembered, I did a speech to the actual council about 3 weeks ago, which you get to do every once a year, or the youth council does. And I called the council bourgeois parasites, called them out for what they were, which kind of seemingly shocked them. But I think that's quite a memorable moment. because, you know, I like standing up to the establishment.
What's some of the projects that you've been working on in the Youth Council?
I've only been really working on one, which is the Neurodivergent one, which is we basically were a group of people that were formed during the residential, basically are working on neurodivergent inclusion awareness in schools because it doesn't exist and neurodivergent people are discriminated against in the schooling system. And we as neurodivergent people have been discriminated against or not. Yeah, we have. So that's what it is. And really, we don't have much influence or much power to change much, sadly. And a lot of what we do is just kind of bureaucratic and offensive, political correct stuff that wouldn't offend anyone, but is undeniably a good campaign, but without like arguing the real solutions. But this is one of them, unfortunately, and I can't, you know, at a youth council level, argue for anything big because it's just unrealistic. Like even the city council doesn't have that much power beyond social housing, which in my opinion, we should challenge them a lot more on, but a lot of it has to go to a national level and be challenged there.
Why is the youth council important? What value does their work have?
I'm not really sure it's that important. Like, we don't seem to do that much stuff. And it seems like still... And I mean, I'm not really sure of the socioeconomic backgrounds of a lot of the people, but it seems like, kind of what I said last time, it's can be just quite, like, rubber stamping and stuff like that. Like, when we did the speeches in February, no, not like a month ago, basically we just... What was it? We had to run our speeches by the city council before we could speak to them. And I kind of went off script to annoy them. But that was an interesting, that's kind of metaphorical for it all. We're kind of there to rubber stamp council policies and to be just kind of, you know, a token of representing the youth. And we are asked on some key issues. Like, for example, we're part of... They're redoing the formula for funding youth groups in Bristol. And we're part of kind of deciding literally which ones stay afloat and which ones are allowed to not be funded by the council anymore, which is, you know, terrible as it sounds. But like we're part of that is we're going to youth groups and we're speaking to young people and we're kind of here to represent them and to give our views to the council. But we really don't have that much access to the council. We get to do a speech to them once a year, which is like, as I said, like pre-approved. And we just really isn't that. I mean, youth influence in politics is important, but the way it's being done isn't done very well. Simply, we're not that empowered, and only like 20 people can in the city can be part of it. We don't necessarily represent a school or anything in particular. A lot more needs to be done. Young people definitely have a voice, and we need to find it. But it needs to be kind of be expanded, and there needs to be, I won't go into detail, but there needs to be not what there is now. And that's
great. Thanks very much. Cheers.